Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Labor Department today says that import prices rose modestly in January. Overall, import prices were up 0.1% last month from an upwardly revised increase of 0.2% in December. Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve today says that manufacturing output declined in January and pushed down overall industry production. Industrial production, which measures the output of U.S. manufacturers, utilities, and mines, decreased a seasonally adjusted 0.3% in January from the prior month. It was the first decline for the reading since July. Manufacturing output, the largest component of industrial production, fell 0.8% in January. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 16,009. It's down 17 points. The NASDAQ, 4,231, down 9.25. The S&P 500, 1,827. It's down 2 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Warming temperatures are still expected to occur across a large part of the U.S. Midwest as we move forward through this next 5 to 7 days. And this will be a welcome break, but enjoy it while you can, because it does look like it will get colder again as we get closer to the final days of February and early March. The temperatures this afternoon will still be rather chilly across the majority of the Midwest. We'll expect to see temperatures only in the single digits and teens in the upper portions of the region, from northern portions of Iowa, northwestern Illinois to the Canada border, and 20s and 30s will occur in the rest of the lower eastern Midwest, with a couple of readings perhaps getting up close to 40 near the Ohio River. But this will be the coldest day. We'll look for the temperatures overnight tonight to get rather nippy as well, and we'll expect to see sub-zero readings occurring from west central and northwestern Illinois through a big part of central and eastern Iowa and Wisconsin up towards the Canada border again. We'll look for single digits and teens in most other areas overnight tonight, and again, we'll likely see the cold beginning to abate once more, and we will, on Sunday morning, likely see some chilly weather still in the eastern Dakotas and portions of Minnesota, but outside of that, everyone will start to warm up. Our lowest temperatures as we get into the early part of next week may be confined to the 20s and 30s in some locations across the area. Afternoon temperatures in the southern U.S., from Texas into the southeastern corner of the country, are likely to get into the 60s and 70s as we get to the end of the weekend and through the first half of next week. Some of that warmth will work its way into the lower parts of the Midwest. Temperatures will likely work their way up into the 50s and 60s across the region from Kansas into portions of Kentucky and southernmost sections of Indiana and Ohio. It will expect to see the warmth beginning to set the stage for a contrast in air mass temperatures as we move into the end of next week and the following weekend, as a cold surge starts to evolve across the upper portions of the Midwest. That cold surge will eventually set the stage for a larger storm system to begin to impact portions of the Midwest, and this will likely take place as we move forward into that second weekend of the two-week outlook. Right now, that storm system is still in its developmental stage in the model data, and there's not a lot of consistency there as to exactly how it will come together. But it looks like the western Corn Belt and portions of the Great Lakes region could be impacted significantly with a rain and snow event initially, followed by a couple of smaller systems that will impact the rest of the Midwest, the Delta, and the southeastern states as we get into that second weekend of the two-week outlook and on into the last days of February. Colder air will come in behind it as well, leaving us in a position to suffer some more from the colder biased conditions as we go into March. Down in South America today, the forecast is still promoting a favorable mix of rain and sunshine for most of Argentina, and it looks like Brazil is going to see an increase in precipitation, and there's a fair chance that Brazil's rainfall pattern will become something a lot closer to normal as we move forward the next week to 10 days. Relief will come to all of those areas that have been suffering from dryness here recently, and as that relief evolves, we're probably going to see a change in the overall attitude about what's left of the crop over there. Certainly some yield loss and quality decline has occurred in the last few weeks because of the dryness, but it looks like some timely rains will help to put that to an end, at least for a while. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The 25th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is March 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And along with our great panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain markets, we'll hear Sue Martin's agricultural outlook. Murray Wise will give us the lowdown on land values in 2014, and we'll get everyone up to speed on the commodity title of the new farm bill. The cost is $30 and includes a continental breakfast, Beef House lunch, and 25th anniversary commemorative hat. Guarantee your spot. Register now at 217-333-7300 with your major credit card, and we'll mail your tickets. That's 217-333-7300. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 665 and a half up 3/4. Soft May, 596 and a half up 2.5. March corn, 439 down 1.5. December, 454 and 3/4 down 1.5. March soybeans, 1347 and 3/4 up 3.5. July, 1314 and a quarter, up 2.25. November, 1133, down 3/4. March soybean meal, 453.10, up 30 cents. March soybean oil, 39.52, down 2. February live cattle, 143.35, up 20. March feeders, 171.10, up 37.5. And February lean hogs are 86.50, up 15. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, I don't know, given what I've seen this week, that anyone would really want to step out and be terribly short on soybeans or soybean meal at this point.
No, although it's been really hard to sustain breakouts above that, you know, if you take like a 1260 to 1350 range there on the March beans, it's been pretty hard to maintain anything outside of that range. So I think, you know, we're bumping up against resistance. We really need to close above that 1350 level to confirm that this is a breakout, and then we'll see what we do next week. Of course, we have a long weekend here coming up from the trading standpoint.
Right, right. We are closed on Monday because of President's Day, so we'll come back with a long weekend. So a lot of things will play in. Long weekends are notorious for something happening. There will be the weather to reevaluate down in South America. It's been dry in Brazil. Will that continue? And won't it? And then we'll be right into the numbers for the ag outlook in Virginia.
Yeah, and there were some numbers came out here yesterday afternoon on China's, I can't remember exactly who it was, came out with those, but kind of dropped, I think it was China's government actually, dropped some of their production down compared to past thoughts. So I think that's one reason we kind of got a little bit of a spurt in the beans here today. Boy, it seems like a long time ago since the report on Monday, though.
It sure does. Turn our attention to corn. Corn has been sort of the sad sister between wheat, corn, and soybeans.
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here. I try to simplify things as much as I can, I guess. But I think we just, you know, we bump up against that 460, for example, on December corn, and we see sellers there. And I know the elevators are buying a lot of corn when we get up in that area. And, you know, the hedging kind of just offers some resistance there. Now, you know, the question becomes, do you eventually get to the point where all the corn that wanted to get sold there is sold, and, you had the funds to be able to use that to be able to get out of their some of their short positions as a farmer sells, you know. So I think we're relatively continue a choppy sideways trade in the corn, I guess, if I were to sum it up.
What about 470? Could that be the upward end of the choppiness?
I think we could. I could almost see even on December, maybe even getting up to the 475 level. But, you know, like they say, you got to crawl before you can walk. We got to get through the 460 first and prove that we can actually get a close above that.
Meanwhile, wheat is finally perking up after months and months of being in the doldrums.
Finally got back up to $6 on the July wheat. I think there's a 50% retracement on the wheat, now looking at the March, not the July, but it's about 611, so I think that's a key area there. I think that'll offer resistance. But I think our 40-day moving average down around 585, that would be pretty good support here right now. So I think we can probably go up and test that 611 area, which would get you, you know, a pretty good, you'd probably be up around 615 or something for the July wheat.
Thank you much, Bill.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the market, March corn, 439 and a half down one, December 455 and three quarters down a half. March soybeans, 13.51 and a quarter up 7, November 11.36 up 2 and a quarter. March soybean meal, 454.60 up 180. March soybean oil, 39.54, unchanged. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.